When the children of Israel came to the waters of the river Jordan, the Lord commanded them to take 12 stones and carry them up out of the river for a memorial that was to be erected. There were actually two memorials of stone. One of them was left in the river Jordan on the dry ground, where the children of Israel walked on, and the other memorial was to be erected on the other side of Jordan. And these memorials ultimately point to the time when the Lord Jesus went down into the waters of death, bearing our judgment. And the other memorial was a remembrance that he came out of the waters, the deliverance from that judgment for our sins. And the purpose of those memorials was for the children who were not yet born. Joshua told the children of Israel, "When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What mean these stones?' then you shall let the children know that Israel came over this Jordan on dry land." Calvary Memorial Church, Calvary Christian School are two such memorials. Memorials for which children in time to come are to learn the meaning of God's deliverance from the bondage of the Egypt of this world that we live in. You educators are going to soon be attending the annual Christian Educators Convention. So this is an appropriate time to rehearse. What means this memorial called Calvary Christian School? I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In 1 John chapter 2, the Lord said, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." The Bible states unequivocally that in the last time, the last times will bring with it many Antichrists. Many of them. And tonight we want to take a look at one of those many Antichrists. We want to look at the Antichrist of public education. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now, if you'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." God says that true knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. The very knowledge that is now banned from public schools. If you'll turn over a few pages to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Instruction without the fear of the Lord is instruction that causes children as well as adults to err from the words of knowledge. And one more passage in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Communications, that word in the Greek, and I'm sure most of the speakers, and I know Pastor Garrison does, and I do, whenever we refer to the Greek or Hebrew, we're going to our Strong's Concordance. But the word communications, it means associations together with. Associations together with evil communications corrupt good manners. Manners in the Greek is habits, your habits. So with whom or with what we associate forms our habits, our manners. So these passages and many other passages instruct Bible-believing Christian parents in their responsibility in training their children. There is no passage in the Bible that instructs the children of Christians to be trained by lost people who are working as agents for the government. Back in the late 70s, this church and others were in a court battle with the state of North Carolina because our religious freedoms were being threatened. And if you were there, or if you've read some of the history, one truth that was predominantly clear was that religious convictions meant everything. Everything stood in that court case on religious convictions. Religious preferences meant nothing in the court. And we maintain that the only form of education permitted by God for us was Christian education. So what is a religious conviction? Well, the religious convictions of most Bible-believing Christian parents under no circumstances would allow their little 6-year-old Matilda or Johnny to be sent to an Islamic madrasa school to be taught by strict Muslims in the religion of the Prophet Muhammad under no conditions. That's a conviction. But which schools are doing the greatest harm in the minds of the children of America today? Is it the religion of the strict Islamic madrasa schools of Mohammedism? Or is it the religion of secular humanism strictly protected and taught in public schools? Which one of those is doing the greatest harm? And contrary to what so many gullible Christians will believe, there is no such thing as neutral education. It doesn't exist. All education is religious. All education conveys a worldview. Public education, by the very definition of it, should be illegal. It should be outlawed. It should be illegal because public education requires that instruction be religiously neutral. But the religion of secular humanism is the state-approved religious curriculum in the public school classrooms of today. And in Torcasco versus Watkins in 1961, the United States Supreme Court said that secular humanism is a religion. In America today, a public school is one of the most, if not the most, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian environments that you can put a child into. It hasn't always been like that, but it is now. And it's far, far worse than anybody will admit or realize. There was a time in America when public education was for the most part a Christian-based education. The New England Primer, America's first widely used public school textbook, it was the foundation of most schooling before the 1800s. And to learn the alphabet in the New England Primer, the student had to not only learn the alphabet, but had to learn the doctrines and faith of the Christian religion. As they learned the alphabet, A, what do we associate with the letter A? In Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, heaven to find the Bible mind. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. D, the deluge drowned the earth around. America's first school textbook is irrefutable evidence that there was a time in the public schools of this nation that the Christian religion and its doctrines were expected to be taught. The first schools of higher learning in America were founded for and upon the advancement of the Christian faith and principles. The laws and statutes of Harvard in 1643 had this statement, quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life." There's nothing in the Constitution, our U.S. Constitution, that mandates or decrees that any of the states needs to operate public schools. The Constitution doesn't even compel compulsory attendance. Those laws, the compulsory attendance laws, came into being for one purpose. And that was to guarantee that the government would hold the monopoly on education. It was the reformer Martin Luther who echoed this warning, quote, "I'm afraid that the schools will prove the very gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the heart of the youth," end quote. Public education in America has become a filthy spiritual cesspool where any and every false idea is permitted while the Christian faith is banned. Today, public schools truly are antichrist schools. And for any Christian parent to allow their child's mind and life to be shaped and molded by humanistic instruction, it's a sin against that child and it's a sin against God. Now, doubtless, some people will say, or at least think, aren't you exaggerating? Aren't you exaggerating a little bit? Well, Dr. D. James Kennedy had this to say, quote, secular education centers around the false concept that God does not exist. Because all absolutes have been denied. And there is no basis for morality, making secular education basically amoral, end quote, without moralities. Should Christian parents pull their children out of the public schools? Absolutely. Absolutely they should. Because there's no hope for the public schools. The public schools are beyond repair. In Revelation 18:4, God didn't tell his people to stay in Babylon and try to be an influence for reform. He said, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. Today, public schools are doing more to weaken the principles of freedom, the principles of patriotism, the principles of Christianity than any other single institution in our society. And by the scriptures that we read in the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Diligently teach your children what I've commanded you. Don't communicate with evil. With all those scriptures, no Christian parent can be obedient to the Word of God while sending their children to be educated by lost people into a false religion. Today, in public schools, there's shootings. There's rapes, there's stabbings, there's assaults, there's drugs, there's abortions without parental knowledge. But you know something? Those aren't the biggest dangers of public schools. The worst danger of all is the assault on the Christian faith and the Christian beliefs. The constant assault on the minds of those young children. There's an openly anti-Christian agenda in the government school system today that instills in the minds of children this moral relativism. In other words, there are no absolutes. There are no fixed standards. Everything is moral. Everything in the moral is relative. And you can only imagine the confusion that places this humanistic philosophy on the mind of a young person trying to decide what life is all about. And you know, this dumbing down, it's by design. It's intentional. It's a design of the secular, humanist, socialist engineers. And of why of all the industrialized countries, when we spend more per student on education, why are we testing at the very bottom in math and science constantly, consistently? Again, public education is one of the most, if not the most, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian environments that you could put a young child in today. John Dewey, one of the main founders of public education in America, he was a socialist. And he intended that public schools would be used as indoctrination camps. And he had this to say, quote, "You can't make socialists out of individuals. Children who know how to think for themselves spoil the harmony of the collective society where everyone is interdependent, end quote. The public school curriculum, it's designed for this collective one world community. And the humanistic principles are going to be our guide. And you can't accomplish that goal without removing all the Christian roots that have been placed in America. You've got to remove those roots. And you know, this is not something that's some curriculum that's got top secret stamped on it. It's open. It's been openly advocated for years. One of the leaders of the U.S. Department of Education, over 20 years ago, Dr. Shirley McCune. She was in charge of the national standards with the U.S. Department of Education, and she was a keynote speaker back in 1989, the National Governors Association Conference on Education, Wichita, Kansas. And Dr. McCune explained it this way. Quote, "What we're into is the total transformation of society. What it means for education is that we no longer see the teaching of facts and information as the primary purpose of education. We must prepare children not for today's society, but for a society that's 20 years down the road, which is the society we're living in, 20 or 30 years down the road. That's called anticipatory socialization, or the social change function of schools," end quote. This is what's openly advocated. Today, the children of public state schools, they're being herded like a bunch of cattle down to feed at the government-run troughs of learning. And the force of law is used as the backing. And the indoctrination into the religion of secular humanism is the feed that they dump into those troughs. The founder and president of the National Association of Christian Educators, Dr. Robert Simons, here's what he had to say about the public school system. Quote, "It is a deteriorating, crumbling system, much like communism. It is a failing system with leaders shouting its success from the rooftop, even while it self-destructs. It is definitely self-destructing, and Christians can no longer afford to wait before rescuing their own children," end quote. Dr. Simons also said that the public school system is a spiritual slaughterhouse of the nation's young children. A spiritual slaughterhouse for the nation's young children. In his book, Law and Liberty, Dr. R.J. Rushdoony wrote this quote. Quote, "The state has no more business running the schools than it has running the churches. And it has no more ground for financing education than it has for financing churches. What is needed badly is the disestablishment of the schools, the separation of school and state." And what he was meaning by that was it's to get the state out of the schools, get the state out of education. You see, public schools, they're not being operated by elected representative officials. No. The control, the day-to-day operation is in the hands of unions and these professional educrats, these social planners that have their radical agendas. And they're not educating children. They're indoctrinating children into a faith. And that faith is secular humanism. And the quote that I read a few moments ago from Dr. Shirley McCune from the Department of Education proves that. In a book entitled The Hidden Agenda of Public Education, the author, Marlon Maddox, says this, quote, "Secular humanism is just as religious as any other religion. Humanists are committed to proselytizing their faith as the most dedicated evangelical Christian. They have commandeered the public school system as their primary tool for converting our nation's youth. The school is their church, the teacher is their priest, and the humanistic philosophy is their gospel," end quote. And they're doing all this while they vigorously forbid and ban any form of Christianity. They ban the Bible. They ban prayer. They ban the Ten Commandments. They ban the very source that our nation's laws are based on. Now, how outrageously dumb can that be? Talk about dumbing down. It can't get much dumber than that. They allow the Muslim religion to be taught in the schools. Not only taught, but practiced. There was a big outrage not long ago in California when the parents finally found out, Dr. Simon's documents, how that the schools were openly teaching the students, and they were telling the students not to pass this on to their parents, how to become faithful Muslims. They were teaching them how and what to pray to the Muslim God, Allah. The school textbooks, they've all been rewritten. If they give any coverage to civilization about the influence of Christianity, it's minuscule. While they just give lots of coverage to the Arab world and to the life of Muhammad and Islam. And then there's the homosexual agenda in the public schools. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, he said this, quote, "The alliance between some public school administrators and the homosexual advocates has been hid from the parents," end quote. What they're doing is they're making homosexual behavior perfectly normal to the minds of these children, little children, down to 6 years old. They start them off young. And they're forcing this homosexual indoctrination on them. Steve Crampton of the AFA, the American Family Association Center for Law and Policy, said, quote, "Promotion of the homosexual agenda to our children may be the single greatest threat to public schools in America today, but most parents don't even know it's happening," end quote. We're engaged in a very real, intense spiritual warfare. We have a very demonic enemy. And there's no question that public education is an antichrist education. R.J. Rushdoony wrote a chapter entitled "We Are at War" in Pastor Kelly's book, The Separation of Church and Freedom. And he said in that chapter, quote, "The humanist is a very dedicated and religious man. He cannot be countered with lukewarmness. The humanist's church, his Lord and Savior, is the state. The salvation of man requires that all things be brought under the lordship of the state. He also said, the issue is clear. Humanism and Christianity cannot coexist. Gullible Christian parents who are sending their kids to public schools, they don't believe that statement. Humanism and Christianity cannot coexist. Theirs is a life of death and struggle. Unfortunately, too few churchmen will even admit the fact of the battle. Too few churchmen will even admit the fact of the battle. Therein is where the battle is being lost by default. And you know how the devil works. If you begin to suggest these kinds of thoughts that we're considering tonight, people at large, their typical response might go like this. Well, my neighbor is a good friend, and she's a public school. She's one of the nicest people I know. I mean, she's one of the most loving people, and she's a public school teacher. You see, the fight is not with a nice public school teacher that might be in your family or in your neighborhood. The real battlegrounds, the real battles, is the curriculum and the indoctrination of the minds of children into a religious philosophy that's being dictated by these elite social planners. It's not how nice some teacher that you might know seems to be. The antichrists of public education are far greater in power and in deception. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's no question, as I said earlier, that in the last 40 to 50 years, the public government-run schools have done more than any other institution to chip away at and undermine our freedoms and our free enterprise system, our nation's patriotism, and especially our Christian heritage. And it's all by design, by the social planners. And their real goal is to dumb down the children through controlled education so that they can ensure that the children are no longer free thinkers, free independent thinkers. They're being trained to become dependent upon the government. And as R.J. Rushdoony said almost 40 years ago, the youth of America's schools are being indoctrinated to believe in the lordship of the state. The Lord and Savior of the humanist is the state, end quote. In separation of church and freedom, Kent Kelly spoke about the nature of biblical convictions. And on trial, in a court of law, over religious freedoms, your truly held religious convictions are defensible, but not preferences. And a conviction is a Bible belief, a Bible-based belief that you will not change. Under any circumstances, if it means prison, if it means death, you will not change that. Now, just imagine for a moment a Bible-believing Christian parent on the witness stand in the court giving testimony about their religious convictions. There are some actual questions that are recorded in the separation of church and freedom that address this. One of the questions was this. It's right there in the book. Does the pastor of your church preach that Christian education is the only acceptable form of education without exception? If the pastor could not answer that in the affirmative, you better get off that witness stand because you don't have a conviction. That question was actually posed. Does the pastor of your church preach that Christian education is the only acceptable form of education without exception? We don't prefer Christian schools as an alternate form of education, but rather as the only form of education that God permits us. And if you think that Christian education is nice, but you will accept public schools under the right conditions, then you have no religious conviction about Christian education, not as a parent and not as a pastor. Another question in the book, and again, we're talking about the nature of convictions. What is a conviction versus what is a preference? Another question was, do you faithfully attend every service of your church with your family? And the answer to that question is a statement of your biblical convictions. Do you know that right now, today, the governments in Europe and in Canada are passing laws to force Christian schools, whether they're Catholic or whatever, Christian schools to provide anti-Christian teaching? They're enforcing that. There's a government, and it's coming to America. It's already in Europe. They're forcing the Christian schools to teach moral relativism and the homosexual acceptability of the homosexual lifestyle. They're forcing Christian schools to teach that, or religious schools. There's this crusade by the government to wipe out any kind of attitude that does not support all sexual orientations. And the courts are ruling that the parents cannot exempt their children from these types of courses. One, Samuel Bloomfield, an education expert, he says, quote, "The plain, unvarnished truth is that public education is a shoddy, fraudulent piece of goods sold to the public at an astronomical price. It is time the American consumer knew the extent of the fraud which is victimizing millions of children every year." It's an unsafe environment. It's a totally unsafe environment. Gun shootings in dozens of schools recently. It's unsafe in the form of the negative role models. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications, evil associations with corrupt good manners." There's the godless curriculum. School is about learning. And a godless curriculum is going to produce godless people. There's poor academic results. Students are leaving the public schools. They can't even read their diplomas. They're leaving in record numbers without the basic reading and writing skills. They can't comprehend math. They don't know hardly anything about their country's founding or its history. Turn with me for one last passage to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Because I believe in these words of the Apostle Paul, there's an admonition to us in light of what we've been considering tonight. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what the Lord wants of Christian parents and Christians. He wants us to be strong, not in ourselves, but strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle, our wrestle is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he's saying, my brethren, be strong. Be strong. Don't let this enemy wear you down, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might by putting on the armor. And you can, with that armor and that strength, you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together tonight. Christian fellowship, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. You said that the fellowship of believers is like, it's sweet, it's wonderful. And we thank you for every opportunity on this side of heaven to gather in fellowship with those of like precious faith. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you will encourage our hearts in the midst of these dark days that we're living in, that our attention and our focus might not be on the darkness of this world, but on the light of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His presence is fullness of joy. Help us to have that fullness of joy, because our attention is constantly upon Him. And Father, we thank you for Calvary Christian School. We thank you for Calvary Memorial Church and Calvary Christian School. And we ask that you will bless these monuments so that in time to come, when children will ask, what means this, that we can teach them and show them by our lives that these are memorials to the fact that the Lord has brought us up out of the bondage of Egypt. We're free. We know the truth. And we pray that you'll encourage our hearts day by day and help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And again, we thank you for this time together tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.